broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse feeling just a little bit weary. This is for the Waimea Class Reunion of 66 at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Alrighty, guys. Yep, let's start you up and let's get you on the course and have some good times out there if you like to play around at Poipu. There's a 920 and 1120 in the Southside Men's Club. May you all hit the sweet spot every time as well. John Strigge, writer for Golf Digest Publications, author of 5 books and winner of the USGA International Book Award, and as he states on his Twitter bio, master of the duck hook. He's our first guest, and he'll be up right after this. Thank you to our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities, a unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
It's a beautiful day. We do have a tropical storm. Its name is Flossie, and it's on the way, so be prepared. Get ready. Expect it somewhere Monday, Tuesday. A lot of rain coming from the Big Island side, so hopefully they'll just get a good drenching, because they certainly need it. John Strigge, writer for Golf Digest Publications, author of 5 books, winner of the USGA International Book Award in 2005. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure meeting you. And before we talk about your books and your writing and what's going on the tours, how's your daughter?
Yeah, thank you for asking. She's doing well, and we expect to get her out of the hospital tomorrow. Just for your listeners, she had that scoliosis surgery similar to what Stacey Lewis had, and Stacey Lewis has been a role model for her throughout all this. So
that's
all is good.
Wonderful to hear, and I'm sure she's going to do just great with Stacey Lewis as a role model. She knows to persevere is what it takes, and
yeah,
that's great. Awesome. Okay, so you covered sports, the MLB, the NFL, the Olympics, boxing, and golf for the Orange County Register for 19 years, and you've written many books. Now, I found Tiger Woods, the biography, in 1997, right? And Tournament Week, Inside the Ropes and Behind the Scenes, and Tiptoeing Through Hell, playing U.S. Open on golf's most treacherous courses, and When War Played Through. I'd like to talk about that a bit more, but what is the fifth book?
I was a baseball writer early in my career, and I co-authored a book with Buzzy Bevesi called Off the Record. Buzzy Bevesi was the Brooklyn Dodgers general manager, then went to the Los Angeles Dodgers GM and became the California Angels GM, which is where I got to know him. He was one of the more colorful front office people in baseball.
Sounds like a good read. I like it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to listen to Buzz tell stories.
You know, Tiger Woods, the biography written in 97, I just watched last night or yesterday on Golf Channel, the 96 U.S. Amateur, the third victory by Tiger Woods over Steve Scott. And I was thinking as I was watching, it'd be interesting to write a biography of such a young man. Why did you decide to do it at such an early stage in his career?
Well, I was fortunate to, when I was working for the Orange County Register, he grew up in our circulation area, so I'd gotten to know him real well, and particularly his mom and dad. Played a lot of golf with his dad. When he turned pro, he was such a big story in golf, and it transcended golf. After he won the Masters the following spring, I mean, he was on the cover of Time magazine, as I recall, Newsweek. But the opportunity presented itself. An agent came to me, and we quickly got a publisher that was very interested. And yeah, he was only 20 at the time, but you know, he'd been at it since he was 4 years old, and you know, it was a pretty good story even up to then.
Absolutely.
So, it was basically just the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, I noticed his mannerisms as a teenager or young man, exactly the same as today. The same
as they are.
Sourpuss, you know, the same, the whole thing. And it seemed like we were, as the media, you know, listening to Johnny Miller, it was like coddling the boy. Oh, he's not smiling today, you know.
Right.
I wish we'd say that. Gee, Tiger isn't smiling today. I hope he's going to get better. It just seemed.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, it just seemed a little bit, this disgruntled look on his face is exactly the same one that we see today when he doesn't hit it. And he wasn't particularly good putting during that final 18, especially at the end. Some really critical putts were missed. So I couldn't help but see some of the, you know, the same things that were happening today happening back then. Your book, When War Played Through, won you the USGA International Book Award in 2005. I really like this book, and we have a lot of World War II veterans in Hawaii,
right.
You know, and so why did you want to do a book about golf during the war?
Well, I'm always looking for ideas, book ideas, and I read a great book called Wine and War, and it was the French, the Nazis, and the Battle for France's Greatest Treasure, which was their wine stores. The book's on things that French did to keep the Germans from stealing their wine, you know, and raiding the cellars. So I got that, got me to thinking, I love World War II history, and I got to thinking what happened with golf during World War II. I mean, I kind of knew, you know, the tournaments were suspended, but I was wondering if there was more, and so I started Googling things, and just the wealth of information came up. So that's what spurred the idea. That was a fun project.
Yeah, it was very interesting because in this book it talks about the guys who were in the prisoner of war camps, trying to lead their lives and wait out this period of time that they were incarcerated in these camps, held in the camps. They created their own golf courses. They found a way to while away the hours so they wouldn't go crazy, basically.
Yes, that was fascinating, and I talked to one or two of them who were still alive that detailed their stories. But yeah, they basically cobbled together golf balls with whatever they could find around the camp, and then stitching some leather around them. I think they got a club, if I'm recalling it. It's a long time ago when I wrote the book, but I think they got a few clubs from the Red Cross, and then
that's right.
Made a rudimentary golf course, you know, through the camp that they were staying. So yeah, it was. I think some of those golf balls are in the USGA museum too, back in New Jersey.
Well, John, one of the reasons I love reading your material, GolfDigest.com, Golf Digest, Golf World, is because you always find these nuggets, these interesting little things that everybody talks about the big story. You know, the Phil Mickelson win last week at the Open, Tiger Woods falling apart, you know, whoever happens to be the story, Lee Westwood not making it and still being optimistic. But you seem to find things to write about that most people don't. How do you do that?
I appreciate that. It's just, you know, I look for it principally because, you know, they're probably better, not probably, I know there are better writers than me out there that might have written about those subjects. So I'm trying to look for sort of the offbeat, obscure things, and occasionally I stumble across it. But that's fun. That's the fun part of the job.
Yeah, what did you like most about the Open and how it was played? Did you think it was set up fair?
You know, that's a great question. I'm undecided on that. The whole fairness issue, everybody's playing the same course, that's what I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys who are playing good say it's totally fair, and the guys who don't play well complain about it generally, which is like the rest of the golf population. We tend to like courses that we play well on, but I guess it probably was a little out of hand that first day. They had a couple of really questionable pin placements. But they listened to the players, and then they tried to make it as fair as possible, but it was just so hard and dry that, you know, it's tough to make it completely fair.
Yeah, Phil was probably the most outspoken on that first day. He said, this is pretty much ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. We tried to couch it a little bit, but yeah, there was no question. And, you know, he'll voice opinions, too. And I'm sure that was directed at the Royal and Ancient to, you know, fix this a little bit. But in the end, yeah, I mean, it was tremendous. It was one of those defining golf tournaments you're going to remember.
Absolutely.
For a long time.
Absolutely. So do you know, we talk about Phil being streaky, and he's up, he's down. I mean, he even said during his pre-conference interview that, you know, he tried everything with the putter and he found something magical that he won't share. Do you think Phil Mickelson is going to go on to a long storied career in his 40s into his early 50s?
You know, I do, just because, you know, the money doesn't mean anything to him. And it never has. I mean, he likes the money, but he's not playing for the money. He's got enough of it. And yet he's still motivated and still wants to principally win major championships. But, you know, we got to remember, it's always going to be erratic with him. You know, we tend to judge players, you know, week in and week out. You can't really judge him that way because he's all over the map. But at the end of his career, we add up the statistics, he's going to be one of the best players ever. So, you know, I expect him to blow some majors again in the future. Mm-hmm. Probably win a couple more, too.
Blow them and win them. Exactly. Now, we go, oh, Phil, darn, when Phil has a problem. We go, there goes Tiger again. He can't close.
Yep.
What is it about? Is it Tiger's attitude, his I don't want to talk to you in the media center, that has alienated him so much?
Yes, in a word. You know, and he's always been, I got along with him pretty well until I did the book. He didn't like that. But I mean, you could tell he was one of these, say this, that he's the most self-centered athlete that I've ever covered, and I covered Reggie Jackson. So
wow.
That speaks a lot. But I think that's part of the reason he has been as good as he is. You know, it's all about him and the exclusion of everyone and everybody else, basically. A slight exaggeration, but
yeah.
I think that's why he's as good as he is. And I think you probably see that in a lot of sports. The very best probably are pretty self-centered.
I have to
be. And he alienated a lot of people over the years, and still does.
I'm sorry, we missed the last thing. What is he alienating people still?
Just his attitude towards the press, and the media, and even the fans. I mean, the fans love Phil. And I think they appreciate Tiger's skill, but I don't think there's, you know, a whole lot of warmth coming from Tiger to the fans. And I think they probably would, you know, in a match play, I think they probably would prefer Mickelson to beat Tiger.
Yeah, we're talking with John Strigi, and he's with Golf Digest Publications. That would be Golf Digest, golfdigest.com. You can find his work. Go to golfdigest.com and put in STREGE and John, and you'll find
it.
You'll find a whole list of some of his most recent articles. You really like ESPN's Paul Azinger, don't you?
It's sort of a love hate thing. I don't really hate him, but I don't like him a whole lot personally. I've had some issues there, but I think he's very good on television. He's honest. And I like Johnny Miller, too, but Johnny Miller occasionally will you wonder if he's doing it for effect, throw something out there that's so off the wall, it just kind of stops in your tracks. But I think Azinger is very thoughtful, and he's opinionated, and he's willing to voice his opinions, whether you like it or not. And I think that makes for a good analyst.
Yeah, Mr. Miller doesn't have a filter.
No. And again, I like Johnny Miller.
Yeah, I do, too.
So I know there's a lot of people that don't, but I think he's still one of the best. But I think Azinger, although Azinger's not on very often, we only see him on the ESPN events, which are few.
Yeah, this is true. All right, let's go to golf. And speaking of, since we're on the Open, sort of, let's go to the Senior Open. It's Royal Birkdale, and this is interesting. We've got Bernard Langer, David Frost, Mark Wiebe, Peter Fowler, Sandy Lyle, And then a little bit ways down is Steve Elkington. And Steve's in some trouble. It's interesting to see what sometimes, you know, you shouldn't tweet things.
He
doesn't like the city. He doesn't like the people in the city. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. What do you think will happen with this?
First of all, Steve Elkington, I follow him on Twitter, and he's just ruthless. He comes across as mean. So I know what you're saying, and to talk about having no editor, he just doesn't care. And why that is, I don't know, but I also expected him to play better once he turned 50. So far, just he's played okay, but I thought he would win right out of the chute. Yeah, I follow him on Twitter as you do, and it just comes across as a mean-spirited guy.
Yeah, well, he said some mean-spirited things about people, borderline racist, as they say in England and the UK,
right. And
they're a little upset about it. I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's great how Bernard Langer is playing. One of my favorite people. He's from the heart.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's a tremendous guy. He's really a quality person. And keeps himself in great shape. And I guess he must be about 55 or 56 now. I'm not sure. But he still plays great, and he's going to continue to play great. And obviously, he's comfortable playing in, you know, links courses and playing in Europe. So I would guess he's going to be hard to beat on the weekend.
What do you think about when he loses the anchored putter?
That's a good question, because he had the yips probably as bad as anybody, and they kept resurfacing over the years. I don't know what he's going to do. Probably, I had an opportunity to play with Tian Lang Wan, the 14-year-old who played in the Masters.
Yeah.
Just on a chance, I ended up playing with him at Torrey Pines. And he caused a stink. I mean, 14-year-old kids anchoring the putter. I mean, that's probably, got a lot of people thinking maybe we should outlaw this. Mm-hmm. But he's still using a belly putter, but he's moved it about an inch away from anchoring. So he's trying that, and he put it very well that day. So I think a lot of those guys probably use the same putter, but it's not anchored to his chest.
Yeah, I see that happening, too. And that weighted putter, too, helps to stabilize things, too. Hunter Mahan, boy, you know what's interesting about going from the Lynx course in the UK, in Scotland, to Glen Abbey in Oakville, Ontario? I kind of expected the guys who didn't do as well or weren't accustomed to the Lynx to come back to Glen Abbey and go, shoo, okay, it's green. I can take a divot. You know, I can really. But this is a tough course.
It is, but, you know, I was thinking the exact same thing as you were, and he's a great ball striker, great iron player, and breathes a sigh of relief and starts firing the pins, and it's really playing well.
Yes, yes. Some of them are not having that kind of luck, but here I'm watching, we've got Hunter Mahan, John Merrick, Bubba Watson, Vijay Singh, going into Saturday. What do you think?
Yeah, I checked the scores just before I came on, and was his third round completed, though? I think he played early and played well, and that's why he shot up the leaderboard. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
He's on 15, and he's
okay. He's
6-under. He was, like, on 59 watch. We had a 59 on the web.com tour, a second one in 3 weeks. Yeah, we had a 59 watch. Dustin Johnson, of course, he won over at Mercedes. Kyle Stanley did well here in Hawaii.
Yeah,
it's a really great leaderboard, and I'd like to close with something that you found that I think I want to read right away, and it's a book called Twice as Good, and it's all about William Powell.
Yes, it's I don't know. I don't want to say children's book. I think it's probably more children and early teens, but one of the great figures in golf history, William Powell, built the first African American designed, owned, and operated golf course in America, which is still operating, Clearview in East Akron, Ohio. It's his story, which is a good one.
It is a good one, and his daughter Renee. Yep. Awesome family. Thank you so much. I hope we'll do this again. And
I would love to, Daniel. Thank you.
Thank you. And good wishes to your daughter and thinking very positive thoughts, sending them out to you and your family. Thanks so much for being on the show.
John, I greatly appreciate it.
John Strege, Golf Digest Publications. Find him at golfdigest.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're going to go and learn some golf, see if we can play. Mel Soul's going to help us. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Go test drive that car. It's a really nice car. You'll like it. We're going to go and learn some golf. Okay, Mel Soul's coming in, director of instruction. Can't talk this morning. Owner, Mel Soul Golf Schools in Myrtle Beach, Pauley's Island, Greenville, all in South Carolina. Let's see, Ellicottville, New York, and two schools in Mexico. I'm not even going to go there this morning. Okay, welcome to the show, Mel.
Thank you, Danielle. Nice to talk to you again.
It's great having you. Mel Soul's philosophy, teaching each person individually according to his or her unique physique and capabilities. The golf swing should be kept as simple as possible, and students are taught to utilize the big muscles, which create power with a minimum of effort. I love this. I love the way you think about golf. And tell us, how did you develop this philosophy?
Well, my coach and mentor, Phil Ritson, that was always his philosophy. And so I learned my teaching through Phil, and I've just carried on the tradition of teaching people to eliminate. The small muscles move much faster than the big muscles. And so that's when you get someone who gets a little quick or in their, whether it's their swing or their chipping or their putting, usually it's the small muscles that are getting involved and you get too quick. So if you start utilizing the big muscles move slower, there's less manipulation, and so you get much more consistent results when you learn to use the big muscles.
Rather than those small ones that are too quick.
And yeah.
It seems like you'd be more based on your core and have more power with your legs if you worked with those big muscles rather than the smaller muscles around the arms and the chest. But I don't know what I'm talking about. You're the instructor. Do I have that right?
Almost.
Okay. Tell us more.
The chest is part of the torso. So the big muscles in your back and the big muscles kind of in your thigh. So from the knees up and from the shoulders down, torso, that's really what I try and teach my students to use and eliminate pretty much from the shoulders down the arms and hands. Those are the followers. The torso is the leader, and the arms are the followers. So when you learn to work the torso correctly, the arms just follow in a very natural way.
Interesting. One of the people, the late Wayne Calloway, former chairman and CEO of PepsiCo, said, "I've taken lessons from the most famous players in the world of golf, but nothing beats what I've learned from Mel Soule at the Mel Soule Golf School. They're the best in the world." You've gotten kudos from so many different people and always one of the top schools in the country.
Thank you.
You know, you've expanded so much. How do you keep your instructors up to date with your teaching ways?
Well, they most of the teachers that I have working for me have been working for me for a long time. And so they're all schooled in the way that I teach and the way that Phil Witton used to teach. And so, you know, my instructor at Grand Dunes in Myrtle Beach has been working for me since 1991.
Wow.
My teacher at Greenville has been working for me since 1993. So I have teachers that have been working with me for a long time. And then any new teachers that come in, they go through an extensive training program before they're ever allowed to go out and teach. So that way we're all on the same page. So if somebody takes a golf lesson in Cuernavaca, Mexico, or Greenville, South Carolina, or Pawleys Island, they're going to get the same thing. They're not going to get one lesson one way, and then they go to another site, and they say, "Oh, no, 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 we're going to do it completely different."
Right. I was afraid that you have a great book out. It's called Golf Step by Step, The Indispensable
right.
Guide on How to Play the Game. And there are big pictures in this, so you can actually see the hands and what you're trying to teach.
Yes.
If somebody can't get to your school, I would recommend getting this book, Golf Step by Step, The Indispensable Guide on How to Play the Game, and you can find that at Amazon. Let's talk a little bit about something everybody wants to do. I've heard people who don't realize that they've actually got a pretty good distance with their swing. You really? I hit it that far? how to increase distance no matter what your age. What is the secret?
Well, particularly as we get older, the response of the muscles to our brain says go, and then, you know, 2 or 3 seconds later after the swing is over, everything goes.
Oh, that's the problem.
So, you know, I've designed an exercise that will help you, and you've really got to look at the video to see it, so you'd have to go to my website and look at the video. But I think it's this month's golf tip. And so it really does give you an exercise to do that you can do at home. You don't have to be on the golf course. You can do it at home, and it helps you speed up the hips. And it helps that connection between the brain and the body to get the hips firing again. And so it's like taking your car in for a tune-up, you know,
Yes.
Mechanic cleans up everything and gets everything running smoothly again. This is a little exercise that I discovered, and I started using it on some of my students and got such great success that I put it on my website and thought, okay, I'd love to help everybody with it.
This is melsoule.com, MelSoule.com, and you'll exactly find this tip and putting and the art of the forward press and how to practice golf effectively. There's a lot of some of the things I'd like to cover, but club fitting is so important. Is it really worth the expense?
It's no more expensive to be club fitted than not. In other words, if you buy a set of clubs off the shelf and you buy a set of clubs through club fitting, it's not going to cost you anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do club fitting here, I do Mizuno clubs, and if somebody comes to me for a club fitting, I'll normally say to them, look, it's going to cost you $80 to go through the club fitting, but if you buy the clubs from me, then I'll waive the $80.
Excellent.
So I don't want somebody coming in for a club fitting and then going and buying it somewhere else.
Right.
They pay me $80, but if they decide to buy the clubs from me, then I waive that $80. So it's really, you know, no additional charge. But then at least you're getting the clubs that when you go to play and practice, you know for sure that those clubs are right for you. And if you hit a bad shot, it's your fault and not the club.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's no doubt in your mind. You know, the grip is right. Some people don't realize, you know, everybody's hand, sometimes you need a larger grip than the one, right?
I mean, there is no way a golf club manufacturer can make a set of golf clubs that you can buy off the shelf that's right for everybody.
Yeah, and it's length of the club, the grip that's on the club, all of those are really important factors that, you know, loft and lie, yes, but get the right size. It's like wearing the wrong pair of pants, high waters.
Yeah, if you're going to buy a suit, you know, you can go to a store and buy a suit off the rack, but if you really want a suit to fit you perfectly, you're going to go and have the suit fitted.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You know, there's the swing weight, there's the shaft flex, there's the grip thickness, there's the lie angle. You know, I have so many people that I just take their regular clubs and just show them just lie angle, you know, that they're 2 degrees too flat or 4 degrees too upright. So you got to make compensations in your golf swing to hit a good shot because the clubs are wrong. So you start building your swing around the clubs instead of the clubs being built around your swing.
Yeah, and that's the key. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who do you really like watching play? Who's got the favorite swing, whether it's on the Champions Tour, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, or maybe a few of them?
There's one guy that I absolutely love watching, and that's Louis Oosthuizen. And I think he's fascinating to me. I just love watching him hit a golf ball, and it just amazes me why he doesn't win every single golf tournament he plays in.
And why doesn't he? That's the question I often ask.
Well, you know, Danielle, if I knew that answer, I'd be winning everything.
No, but I know exactly what you mean. Watching Louis, he came so close once, you know, right?
Yeah, but he's got something. He's got this amazing personality. He doesn't allow anything to fluster him. He hits a bad shot and you see a smile on his face, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what guy hits a bad shot and smiles, you know? So he's got a great temper. I tell all my juniors, you know, you can learn so much not only from his golf swing, but just from his demeanor. And you can learn to be a good golfer watching somebody like that.
Okay, and what is it about his swing that is so great?
Well, it's so technically sound, you know. All the parts of it. I think if there's a weakness to his game, it's his putting. And that's why he doesn't win every week, I think. I think tee to green, he's as good as anybody on the planet. But, you know, he's a nice person, and there's a lot of nice guys on tour, you know. But he has a fascination that I love watching him play.
Excellent.
I mean, I love watching Ernie, and I love watching you know, Phil and...
I was feeling a little South African bias here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like watching Phil and Tiger. And when Tiger's on, he's also, you know, amazing to watch. But Tiger's just got the ability to play well or score well even when he's playing badly.
Yeah.
He swings the club badly and can still... I mean, to me at the British Open, he was swinging so badly. But he finished what, fourth or something, you know.
Yeah, six.
There's not too many people that can do that.
Yeah, Tiger. I watch him, and since he went to rehab, you know, there's something about thinking you're king of the world,
mm-hmm.
and really believing it, and then having to go examine your flaws, and then taking that, the realization of just how flawed you are, and you're a different person at that point,
yeah,
you know. And
sure.
I don't know what's going on with him on the weekend, but it's like he makes the cut and then whoo, that's it.
Yeah,
something just goes out of him.
Yeah, he had something mentally for years and years that he's lost, and even the look in his eyes
mm-hmm.
is different.
Yes.
Now I remember. You know, Ray Floyd had that stare, and Nicholas had that stare, and Tiger used to have that persona and stare that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, he's one of the guys.
Yeah, there's a little bit of doubt that has crept in that he never, ever had before.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And, you know, he's got to go back and play. There's a great book called Final Rounds. I don't know if you've ever read it.
No, I haven't. I'll have.
If you have, if you like reading, this is a great book. It's about a father and son, and the son finds out that his father is dying of cancer. It's a true story, and he takes his father to Scotland because he knew his father wanted to, you know, at least once play Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting golfing book. But during this book, the son gets mad and throws a club or something, and the father says to him, "Son," he said, "you got to learn to play NATO golf."
NATO.
And the son says, "NATO golf? What's that?" He said, "Not attached to outcome." And that's a critical factor in golf, is not attached to outcome. And when we can do that, and that's where Tiger has lost. Tiger had no attachment to outcome. He'd stand up there and his belief system was, "I'm the best and I can hit any shot I want." And he's lost that a little bit, and now the concern of the outcome is there.
That's the best explanation for what's going on with him that I've heard so far. I mean, a lot of people have said what we're talking about, but nobody's refined it like you just did. NATO golf. You know, that works in life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Everything.
Everything. That's called Final Rounds, by the way, guys.
Yeah, Final Rounds.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. All right. Yeah. Now, the other thing that everybody wants to do is putt. And that's one of the hardest things. You have on your website, melsoul.com, putting and the art of the forward press. Is this also a video?
Yes.
No, you share so much. You're so good.
Yeah, the forward press is something that has kind of died. You know, if you look at a lot of the early players had that forward press back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and the players today don't do it. And Phil was doing it for a while, and I think in the British Open he actually stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And putted really well, so I don't. But I think for a lot of amateur golfers, when they have a little bit of a pressure putt, when they try and go from what I call a dead position, where everything is still and then they start, it can get a little jerky. And if they have a little forward press and then move, it just helps them get the flow. It just helps them get it started, and they can put a smoother stroke on it.
Excellent. So go to melsoul.com and see that. It's something to look at. Everybody's got their own putting style. You find what works for you. And that's the beauty of instruction. It's like when you're listening to somebody talk about something and you don't get it, and then somebody will say the same thing just in a different way, and all of a sudden you go, "Oh, the light
got
went
it.
On, right? I got
exactly.
it. Aha."
Exactly.
Right. And
that's the mark of a good instructor. When a good instructor is saying something to a student and he can see he's not getting through, and he has the ability to just turn it around and say it in a different way, and suddenly the student goes, "Oh." That's the joy of teaching, when
yes.
you can do that.
Yes, yes, knowing how to say the same thing just in a different way, from a different
right.
angle, with a
right.
different explanation. Absolutely beautiful. Now, you have, if I wanted to go to Myrtle Beach or Pauly's Island or even Mexico, I could work in, or New York, I could work in a three-day school?
Yes. You know, we have programs from, you know, one-hour sessions to one-day schools, two-day schools, three-day schools. Most of my teaching is three-day schools, and the student is going to get, you know, about 10.5 hours of instruction on pitching, chipping, putting, bunker shots, full swing, and so it's a good grounding for those people that are starting, and it's a good overview for those people who are regular players.
Fabulous. I've got Lou Riccio in the wings waiting. I've had such a good time talking with you. Mel Soul, Director of Instruction, owner, Mel Soul Golf School. It was Ritson Soul, and Mr. Ritson taught everything Mel Soul knows about the game.
Right.
So this is awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the show.
Danielle, it's always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Mel Soul, Director of Instruction. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism now affects 1 in 88 children in the United States. Early diagnosis for autism makes all the difference. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please join me at the Els for Autism Golf Challenge this year. We are playing great courses throughout the United States. Fundraise $13,000 or more, and you can join me and some of my friends at the finale in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back in the clubhouse. Now, I'm really excited. We've got Lou Riccio. Now, I'm not sure I'm even qualified to speak with this man. PhD in engineering from Lehigh University. Dr. Riccio's research and data analysis in part led to the USGA slope rating, USGA Handicap Research Team original member, recipient of the USGA's Isaac Granger Award, the first to develop and market personal computer-based software to study an individual's game, and used it to study Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Sherry Steinhauer, a professional advisor for Golf Digest, many articles published there, and in Golf Magazine, senior golfer, Metropolitan golfer. He's worked on golf course development projects, including those of Donald Trump. And he won the PGA Tour inaugural ShotLink Intelligence Prize. He's a faculty member at Columbia University. He teaches business analytics. He's head of Columbia University's Consortium for Advanced Sports Analytics. So you ask yourself, okay, golf? Okay, here we go. Welcome to the show, Lou. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here, and what a gracious introduction. My father heard that.
Yes.
If my father heard that, he'd be proud. If my mother heard it, she'd actually believe all that stuff. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
I believe it because I've left out some things, and I had to decide which I was going. But before, and one of the big accomplishments and things that may have kind of go under is your creation of the 345 Golf Association, the advocates for a quicker pace of play. You can go to the website 345golf.org, and it's spelled out 3-3-4-5-golf.org. Go there. There's some interesting things to read, but we're going to get before we get into slow play. And before we talk about golf course architects being responsible, golf course managers, and, of course, the players, last week or the week before, we had on Pete Charles from Golf Logics, and we were talking about this really great program that's in the Golf Logics app. So you input all of the information from your round, all the shots that you took, what clubs you used, how far it went, and then let's say you had a bad round because Golf Logics is going to know what your normal round is like or what your average round is like. So you've had a really bad round. Golf Logics, the app, will come up with, from the files of Golf Digest magazine, a video that'll say, by the way, you had a really tough time with your short game, 125 yards in, so here's a little something for you to look at. This could help you. Now, I understand, Lou, that you were instrumental in making that possible.
Well, I am involved in it, and Pete's a great guy, and Golf Logix is the number one app in golf, and they have a terrific GPS app, which links golfers to every golf course in America, essentially every golf course in America. And I've been writing articles for Golf Digest for the better part of three decades now, I guess.
Wow.
And Golf Digest is the number one publication in golf. They have all the best instruction material hooked up with Butch Harmon and Ledbetter, and they have Nicklaus and Watson and all, and Mickelson. So they have all this great information, these great tips and videos, like you said, on how to play better. And so they contacted me, and with my statistics, they call me the secret sauce. I could link how you played to how you compare to your regular play, how you compare to other golfers in your own scoring range, and how you compare to the best golfers, the pros. And it points out exactly where you need to improve, what you're doing very well, and what you need to work on, and then links you directly to the very terrific instruction material Golf Digest has. And in this way, you can almost instantaneously, right after the round, it'll give you a readout on what you did well and what you didn't do well, and guides you to practice, instruction, and course management strategies that will lead to more enjoyable and golfing and better scores.
Awesome.
And it's just a really terrific program. I'm very proud to be part of it. I'm that little secret sauce that links
secret
the two
sauce,
together.
I like that. I like that description, because you seem to be the secret sauce behind a lot of things. One of the things, of course, the USGA PGA Tour, or not so much the PGA Tour, PGA of America. We could talk a lot about the PGA Tour and whether or not they're going to push for some quicker paces of play. I don't know if you'll ever get through to them, though. The issue of slow play frustrates everybody. Right? And it's one thing that really brings golfers together, as you said. But it's never the golfer who, you know, like, me, it's not my fault. It's that guy's fault over there. Steve,
yeah,
over there.
It's a crazy situation. You know, the like you said, frustrates us. You know, we can hit a bad shot. We can three-putt a green, and we get angry. But we come back and play, because we know that's part of the game. But what really infuriates us is when we have to wait on a shot, or it takes 5 hours to play, and then we think twice about coming back. And golf has got a real problem. I'm not sure how it's going in Hawaii, but here in the Northeast, where I am, rounds played are down. The number of golfers who consider themselves avid golfers are down. And it's a problem, because it's such a wonderful game. It's a lifetime sport. It's the best exercise you can have. You know, Bob Hope played golf until he was over 100 years old, and he said you got to walk at least an hour a day, and golf is the best way to do it.
This is interesting, because the former USGA director of handicapping, who is now with Golf Digest, he said, didn't he, we swing the club 60 minutes, walk 2 hours, and spend the rest of the time waiting. And
yeah, Dean Knuth has done really good work in this area.
Dean Knuth, okay. Yeah. And the 2005 study that was done by the former USGA technical director, Frank Thomas, he found that slow play is the number one obstacle to growing the game.
Absolutely, and I think our own personal experience confirms that. And the funny thing is, you know, there's still a lot of people playing golf, unfortunately, and they might say it's okay, but we've lost a lot of people. And like Barney Adams has said on your show, we got to get more people into the game, and the people in the game, we got to get them to play more often. It's such a wonderful game in every respect. It's great exercise, and it's fun to play. And the slow play does seem to show up in the National Golf Foundation and Frank Thomas's surveys and lots of the media presentations as the number one obstacle to getting more people to enjoy this game. So I set out, I'm a professor. What does a professor do? He sees a problem, tries to figure out a solution. So for the last 10 years or so, I've been working on solutions. The last 5 years, very specific analytic techniques, simulations of golf courses, some data collection. And I think I've built a pretty good science of pace of play. And what it boils down to is it's a complicated problem. It's not easy. And that's why it persists. And that's why it's hard to overcome. And I know some people are getting discouraged. They've tried, and they try to improve things, and then when things don't improve, well, the fact is that we're all involved. It's not just the group ahead of you. It's not just the group ahead of them. It's everybody. Everybody contributes in one way or another to the pace of play, and we all have to get together and figure out how we can improve things.
Okay, when I was reading some of your papers that you presented, and I've got to tell you folks, Lou Riccio, we're speaking with Lou Riccio, he's PhD engineering, Lehigh University, faculty of Columbia University, and the secret sauce in lots of things, works with Golf Digest. He, when I was reading some of the factory physics that you apply, you know, basic productivity of a factory, determining where the, quote, manufacturing process runs into the bottleneck that stops productivity. In other words, where's the problem on the golf course that gets us all backed up? I couldn't help, you know that chocolate factory with Lucille Ball?
I show that video in my classes.
You're kidding.
Oh, it's a classic.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. I love that.
That's the first thing that came to my mind is, like, I'm seeing Lucille Ball stuffing chocolate in her mouth. Like, there's the bottleneck. Okay, so you say that, okay, yes, it's not the fault of us necessarily playing. You go straight to the golf course architect, and that wasn't my first thought.
I go to a number of people. Here's one of the problems. 90%, if you ask people what's the source of slow play, 90 to 95% of the conversation is about player behavior. And I'm not saying player behaviors are good. We've all learned very bad habits over the last several decades. The steady encroachment of bad habits has led to slow play. But in addition, there are other significant factors that if they're not taken into account, all the efforts to get players to play quickly will go in vain. And let me give you a different example. I love the factory example, and I teach that kind of stuff. But you're a traffic reporter. You understand this stuff. If you have a highway that's full of cars, has too many cars on it, if every one of those cars is a Corvette, they can't go very fast. They can't go to the speed in which they'd like to go because there's so many cars. In the same way, if we don't have the proper tee interval, if we put too many golfers on a golf course, you're going to have backup. No matter how well aware those golfers are about pace of play, they just can't go anywhere. We understand this from a highway context. Why can't we understand that on a golf course? So the first thing we need to do is to get golf course management to understand that their tee interval, how many people they stuff onto a golf course, has a direct relationship on the pace of play. If you have a 7 or 8 minute tee interval, you're going to get a 5 hour round. You got a 9 or 10 minute interval, you have an opportunity to have the golfers actually play at a proper pace.
Okay, and a lot of these guys, the golf course management people, are stuffing those golf courses with golfers every 7 minutes because they need the revenue to maintain the golf courses. And if I may jump in on the architects right now and the way we build golf courses, they have huge golf course maintenance costs because of the water and all the grooming that goes on for a golf course. So what they're trying to do is recoup these expenses. So is that where the golf course architecture problem comes in?
Well, actually, what happened in the 1990s, America built 3,500 golf courses. National Golf Foundation said in 1988 that we should build a new golf course every day for a decade. And America did it. It's amazing what we can do when we set our minds to it. A new golf course every day for 10 years, 3,500 new golf courses. The problem is so many of those golf courses were built with one thing in mind: build me the most difficult golf course in the area. And the problem is that most golfers just want to go out and enjoy a round of golf. They're not playing championship golf. That's where Barney Adams is Play It Forward, and the USGA and the PGA are pushing the Play It Forward, is a good thing. It's a good thing to get people to recognize you don't have to play it from the back tees. You don't have to play the most difficult situation. You should go out and find a golf course that you enjoy. Matter of fact, my own rule, Riccio's own rule here for this, is that you should never play a course whose slope rating is more than 142 minus your handicap. So if you're a scratch golfer, you can play 140 slope course. If you're a 10 handicap, you should look for a course in the low 130s. If you're 20, low 120s. And that way you'll have a challenge of golf. You'll have a challenging experience, but the course won't beat you up. The worst thing you could do is you put a 20 handicapper on 140 golf course with thick rough and 13 stimp greens, and you got a 5 hour round, 5.5 hour round. We need to think about what kind of courses fit which kind of golfers and encourage more courses to be playable by all kinds of golfers. PGA of America, the heart and soul of golf is the PGA pros, the club pros.
Yes.
They're trying to do some things. The American Junior Golf Association is doing great stuff to get people to recognize it. But it's going to take a whole generation to get us back to where we were when I can remember when I started.
When we played three-hour rounds with no problem?
You know, in 1981, at the U.S. Open, a player was given a one-stroke penalty for playing too slowly. He played in 4 hours and 20 minutes at the U.S. Open. Today, the U.S. Open, the players take five and three-quarters hours to play. If we could go back, that was the U.S. Open conditions. You know, when Sam Snead played, you hit the ball and you moved. You know, there was no, you know, you didn't wait around. And we have to think about going back to that when you can play in under 4 hours. Not every course. Some courses are more difficult to play, and they're set up for championship conditions. But like I said, if unless you're a championship golfer, you should seek out a golf course that works for you. Enjoy the game. Get out there and play it, and play it quickly, and everybody will be better off.
Pace of play. It seems to me that we need to be more realistic in our expectations. Play it forward, tee it forward. You can honestly assess your game. Go to a golf course with the proper slope rating, as you said, that fits your game. And if you can't find one that's, you know, low enough for your game, then tee it forward, because there's nothing wrong with that. You'll have more fun, you'll move quicker, and everybody will be happier. What do you think of picking up the ball if it's obvious that you've gone beyond your handicap?
Absolutely. The tees, Frank Thomas and I wrote the position paper with the USGA in 1980 that the ladies' tees, we should get rid of the term ladies' tee. They call it the front tee. And anybody who wants to play the front tee, it's fine with us. You know, it's perfectly okay. And by the way, when it comes to pace of play, there's a lot of guys that'll say that women are slow players. The women I've played with over the years move to their own ball, are ready to hit, and keep moving and clear and pick up when they're out of the hole. And move on. I've had no problem with women when it comes to pace of play. There's many aspects to the pace of play. I hope your listeners will go to the 345 Golf website, as you mentioned, 345golf.org, and I really appreciate you mentioning that, because we have a whole program on how to get everybody involved. It's a volunteer organization. We want people to be leaders. We have to be positive about pace of play. When people do, how do we learn about pace of play? The same way we learn about rules. Nobody reads the rule book. You ask people. You watch people. In the same way, how do you learn about pace of play? How long should it take you to play? We look at other players. We look and see how long they take, and we assume that that's the right thing to do. We've learned some bad habits. What we need to do is preach, teach positive pace of play. Move to your own ball. Move as quickly as possible. I say 345 comes from move at 3 miles an hour, which is about 100 yards a minute. Clear the tee, fairway, and green in 3 minutes. Your whole group should be off the green in 3 minutes once everybody's ball is on there. Never, ever take more than 45 seconds to hit a shot, which means you should be ready to hit and probably average 20 to 30 seconds to hit your shot. By the way, I recommend never taking more than 3 minutes to look for a lost ball. And if you're out of the hole by three strokes, just pick up and walk on. So there's lots of aspects of very specific instructions. People need to understand how they can help, but we need to get everybody involved. I know you've mentioned the architects. Well, they've kind of done their thing. What we need to do is get course management, course superintendents, to set up the course properly. Do we need 3-inch rough? Yeah, 1-inch, 1.5-inch rough. That's plenty to create for the handicapped golfer enough of an obstacle to be meaningful. But to have 3 or 4-inch rough where you can't find your ball, that's crazy. That just slows down play. And we don't need that. Maybe we need that at the U.S. Open, but we don't need that on everyday play.
And the question I have to you is, what if there were a shot clock? Is that a good idea?
Oh, sure. Why not? There could be lots of different things. The American Junior Golf Association has three, I believe it's three time positions.
Yes.
On the golf. And so they tell the players, you're on time, you're not on time. You know, pick up the pace. and any kind of feedback that we can give to golfers so that they can learn. We have to be positive. We want to teach people the right behaviors and the feedback to indicate to them when they're doing it right and when they're doing it wrong so that they themselves can buy into this. We can't force anybody. The worst thing you could do is tell somebody they're not doing it right. No, what you want to say is, watch me. I do it right. Do what I do. Be a leader. And if that's much more positive. You know, with kids, the last thing you want to do with kids is tell them not to do something, because all they hear is the something. They don't hear the not, and they continue to do stuff. What you want to tell them is what you want them to do. And in the same way, we have to be very positive, give as many messages and as much feedback to golfers. This is what we want you to do, and if you do this, we'll all be better off.
We've been talking with Lou Riccio. He is the secret sauce in so many things that Golf Digest, the USGA, have done to help improve the pace of play so that it makes everybody happier on the golf course. If you'd like to find out more, it's 345golf.org. Spell it out, T-H-R-E-E-4-5-G-O-L-F.org. Lou, thanks so much for being on the show.
This was wonderful. I really appreciate it. You have a terrific show. I look forward to being back on the show.
Yeah, we're going to talk probably next week if we can get this scheduled right. I know you're a very busy man. We'll talk about ShotLink and how stats can help improve your game. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Boy, Lou Riccio, he's a pistol, isn't he? A lot of fun talking with him. We'll talk with him some more. Let's first do a station identification. We are KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, and of course at RadioGolfClub.com. We're talking now with Sean Gobin. Kapolē has a tee time for you to play 11:19, 11:40. Go out, have some fun, play around. Director of Operations at Kapolē Golf Course, home of the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts? You heard Lou talking about pace of play. Give us some of your pace of play thoughts.
You know, he's talking about feedback from us, from the PGA professionals, you know, but also feedback from your group. I mean, I coached high school golf when I lived in Oregon for 9 years, and you know, it's easy as a coach to give the players feedback, but the players would start giving each other feedback. And, you know, they're kids and they knew each other really well. They're like, come on, you're playing slow, let's go. And I've done that a lot in my career, you know, with people going, come on, let's pick it up, we need to move. And when you get feedback from your group, a lot of times that's more powerful than the marshal coming by and everybody's, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he's grumpy today. I hear that all the time, the marshal is grumpy today. But, you know, as a buddy playing golf, and I played golf ever since I was a really little kid, that, you know, you can kind of joke with your buddy, come on, let's pick it up. It's not the U.S. Open here. It's not, you know. And a lot of times the feedback from your group is every bit as powerful as anybody else.
And maybe more so. It's better, you know, and they won't take it as hard, hopefully.
Hopefully. And you can do it in a joking way a lot of times.
Yeah,
too, you know?
Exactly. Now, wait a second. I also want to hear about pace of play You were telling me about your marathons that you've gone on. Do you have the Guinness World Record in number of holes played?
No, actually, in 2009, myself and an assistant that worked for me in Arizona, we played a marathon length of golf. And unfortunately, he's a little bit better golfer than I am, and he ended up setting a Guinness Book of World Record for number of strokes taken, least number of strokes taken, in a marathon length of golf.
Now, what's a marathon?
Well,
tell us about that.
26.2 miles, so we played 116 holes, and we measured it all out, and it was 26.2 miles of golf. And that's a long day. And
did you sprint?
We ran between every hole. We did ride carts from green to the next tee box because at a residential community there's some pretty good travel between holes, but we ran every single hole, so you actually ended up running more than a marathon, and it's interesting hitting a golf ball with your heart rate about 150. But
calm down.
Yeah, take a breath. It didn't help. You're out of them. But the interesting thing, though, when we played, the course I was at in Arizona, Coach East hosted the Tradition, which was the first senior major of the year for 13 years. We played Coach East from the back from the tournament tees, because the longer the golf course you play, the less holes you have to play to get a marathon length. Yeah. And Jake Sand was the gentleman I was playing with, and we played the back tees. He shot 68, and we played 18 holes running in 58 minutes.
Wait a minute. He shot a 68 in 58 minutes, 18 holes?
18 holes.
Wow.
So you can play well and play fast.
Well, I guess so. You've told us. Okay. This is Sean Gobin, Director of Operations at Kapolei Golf Course. They've got some really cool events at night. Don't you have like free clinics and family events going on at Kapolei?
Yeah, we just started this last Wednesday, and we're going to be going almost every Wednesday. There's a couple we skip, like during the championship tour. There's two Wednesdays in a row we missed, but just about every Wednesday night, we're offering free clinics out there from 5:30 to 6:30, and we're actually offering three clinics at a time. And we're offering Snag, which is Start New at Golf. And nobody, if you don't know what Snag is, get on the web and Google Snag and look for Snag Golf. And it's a great way to introduce people to the game, juniors, beginners, doesn't matter. And then it's a great way to get back into the game if you've kind of gotten away from it. It has large clubs. You hit a low compression tennis ball, and they stick to Velcro targets. So it's a lot of fun. And anybody can come out and do that and get started with golf. And it's a great way, you know.
It sounds fun.
It is awesome. You know, a lot of times you start golf and you get this little tiny club and this little golf ball that's only 1.68 inches and, you know, and it's intimidating, the hole, and you can't hit it. Well, these, you have a huge club. You have a much bigger ball. You know, when we start kids playing basketball, we don't start them on a 10-foot hoop. We pull the hoop down for them. And that's what Snag does. It's the tee ball of golf is what it really kind of comes down to.
I like it. Tee ball golf. That's a good one.
Yeah, and people can have fun at it. And then also we run clinics. We have a ladies' clinic going on at the same time. So if mom wants to bring the kids out, she can get some golf instruction, and the kids can go over and do the Snag. And then we also have an open clinic for any skill level that might want to learn something more. So every Wednesday, like I said, just about every Wednesday night at a Kapolei from 5:30 to 6:30.
Okay, now you said it's not during championship week, of course, because the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship is a Champions Tour event in September. It's Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. This is the second annual event. Wasn't it exciting, the kickoff with Annika Sorenstam here?
Oh, that was great. She was so gracious, and what a great person to have out there to announce our championship. And, she was phenomenal. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet Annika several times. And, you know, she never fails, she never disappoints. So.
No, and she's fun when she does clinics. She has such a great personality, and she's funny.
Yeah. Danielle, were you out there for the evening event?
I did not make it for the children's event, no, because, you know, I do that traffic thing until 6 o'clock at night, so it really gets in the way of my nightlife.
Well, if we had better traffic around here, you wouldn't have to work so
No,
late.
I know. That'll be the day. Okay, Pacific Links Foundation. The beauty of the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship is that all of the money, 100% of the money that is raised, and, you know, there's a lot of money that, you know, goes into putting on the event, and there's a lot of money that's raised during the event, like the pro-am. It's not just the ticket prices. It's the pro-am fees and all that. Pacific Links Foundation is the recipient. The Pacific Links Foundation, as you heard on the show a couple weeks ago from Mr. Kane, the work on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, all that money goes to do the work that they're doing on the Leeward Coast, which is really exciting. But also something that you need to know about if you're really into golf and you're on Oahu. This is a loyalty program that Pacific Links Hawaii has started. It's called Go Oahu. Can you tell us about it, Sean?
Yeah, Golf Oahu. And what it is, it's the loyalty program. And since we have four properties on this island with Kapolei, Makaha, Olamana, and Royal Hawaiian, if you sign up for this program, the best way to describe this is like joining a gym. That's about the best way I can put it. You know, if you join a program, $50 a month, and you have unlimited access to the driving ranges. So if you're a range rat and like to practice a lot, you can easily make your $60 back. And then when you go play golf at these golf courses, it's approximately $15 off of all the green fees. And if you play, so that means if you play four times a month at any of our courses, you've made your $60 back. If you hit one bucket of balls, now you're ahead. So, and the reason I equate it to a gym is, you know, you go into a gym, if you want to go work on equipment, fine, and, you know, that's our range, and you can go work yourself out, and if you want to take a special class, i.e. go play golf, and got to pay a little bit, but it's really, really neat program, and, you know, you're included, your family's included, unmarried children under the age of 25, living at home are included, so for families, it's a great, great way to get out and enjoy some golf or even just come enjoy the range together. And that's kind of why we're doing these clinics at night, is to kind of create the family atmosphere where everybody can come out and get something out of it.
Do kids get to play at a special reduced rate if you're in the loyalty program?
Yeah, absolutely. We have junior access fees, which, you know, depending on the course, but they range from $20 to $30 during prime time. And then if you come out 90 minutes after the twilight starts, so it's 3:30 right now, or sorry, 3:45 right now, 2:45 during the wintertime, juniors play for free.
There you go.
So, yeah, so we really want to encourage the kids to come out and play. And, you know, a lot of times the golf courses aren't very busy in the afternoon, so, you know, you don't have to worry about the pace of play, so you can go out there and enjoy with your family and, you know, let the kids, you know, hit extra balls, and you know, really don't have the pressure of trying to keep up, and because you won't have anybody behind you,
right?
And if the person behind you, they probably got a couple kids with them too, so nobody's really rushing. So it's kind of nice to get to go out and spend some family time.
And some of the money from this also goes into the foundation. This is Golf Oahu, and it's $60 a month. It's for Kapolei, Olomana, Royal Hawaiian, and Makaha. Now, you're going to have Makaha East and West included in this when that other course is ready again, right?
The thing is, that course is still going to be a ways away because they're in the middle of redesign right now and working with Greg Norman. So, you know, they've still got permitting, and it's going to be a while before that course opens. But they're, you know, working hard on things right now, and, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time because, you know, we were talking about designers earlier. When you go to redesign a golf course, it can take some time, and then, of course, permitting and all that, you know how that can go.
Yes, no, this is exciting, though, because that will become the home of the, I believe, the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. That's the ultimate idea, because of the hotel there, that
correct.
It'll be all one and inclusive. It's really exciting what Pacific Links is doing here on Oahu. So, again, to kind of wrap things up, we've got the at Kapolei, 5:30 to 6:30, free. Free, people.
This free, is free.
Free. free. You can go, if you've got kids, ladies, you know, the kids can play snag golf. You can take a clinic And guys, if you've got the kids, then you can take the open clinic for anybody with any skill level, and the kids can go play snag. Bottom line is there's something for everybody Wednesday, 5:30 to 6:30. Let's grow the game. Seems like that's what you're trying to do.
Absolutely. And moms, if you have kids that play better than you do, we'll put them in the open clinic and we'll let you do snag.
Oh, you're so kind.
Well, what I was going to say, the reason I asked you about this, about the Annika evening event, she hit some snag balls with her kids and was absolutely loving it. And part of the snag equipment, you get a suit that looks like a dog bite suit is what it looks like, but it has a target on it, so several targets on it. And you walk out and, you know, people get to hit balls at you. And this, you're standing in the suit and people are hitting balls at you. And I've learned if you stand still, they have a tough time hitting you. But for the Annika event, we have a young lady, Taylor, who works for us, and she was in the suit and walked out in front of Annika. And my one big mistake is we didn't mic Taylor. I didn't know she'd be so entertaining. And so Annika's talking on, you know, she's mic'd up, and she hits the first shot. And it would have hit Taylor almost in the bullseye. And Taylor moves, and the ball goes by her. And Taylor looks up at Annika and goes, "Oh, you missed? You need me to move closer?" And Annika, such a great sense of humor, she starts laughing in the microphone, but the crowd couldn't hear Taylor.
Oh.
And the next three shots, Taylor moved. They all would have hit her. "Oh, you can't hit me." And Annika is laughing because Taylor's just taunting her. But Annika got the last laugh, I'll tell you that.
And she hit her very well.
Right in the head. Right in the head.
That's a great story. That's something, I wish we had video of that. That'd be fun to post on YouTube.
Actually, I do. I'll forward. There's no audio, but I'll forward the video.
Oh, you need to, just to see it. Because some of the times that I was watching during the clinic, when she would, she does movements that are so impulsive to show how a golfer shouldn't do something, you know, and it's just... It's just very good, and she's very serious, and she gives you a lot of information. I'd love to go to the Annika Academy one day, you know, just to experience that. But she gives you a lot of information, but then she gives you those moments where you get to laugh, you know, and just it's just a lot of fun. So who are you looking forward to? Are you watching the British Senior Open that's going on right now with Bernard Langer in the lead?
Yeah, he's doing great today. I was watching that earlier this morning, and, you know, the tough thing about living here in Hawaii is getting up to watch the British Open.
Not for me. but yeah, he's in the lead, and all these guys are coming over in September. Can we start getting tickets?
Yeah, actually, tickets are going to be available shortly. There'll be a pretty good ad campaign, so keep your eye out for that. But you will be seeing tickets for sale here shortly.
And if we want to join the Golf Oahu, how do we do that?
All you need to do is come to any of our clubs. Everyone has information right there at the counter. We can sign you up immediately, get you a temporary card. You know, you'd be able to charge to your account if you want to do that, and, you know, get an experience where you don't always have to bring your wallet to the club. And any of the golf shops, any of the counter personnel can help you out.
So the $60 a month gives you unlimited time on the driving range. Does that include range balls?
That includes all your range balls. Just come on out and hit to your heart's content.
Excellent. And then you have special tee times set aside and a reduced rate on those tee times if you're a member.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Sean Gobin, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. I'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah, and we'll talk again soon.
Perfect.
Excellent. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Alamoana Boulevard.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Wow, this is quite a leaderboard that we've got going on with Dustin Johnson, John Merrick, Brant Snedeker, Bubba Watson, and then Vijay Singh. A couple of guys haven't teed off yet, so it's going to be interesting to see. RBC Canadian Open Glen Abbey Golf Course. All right, let's go now. You know, you got to mark your ball, right? You want to, the USGA Rule 12-2 requires a player to be able to clearly identify his or her ball. Well, what if you don't want to put little black dots on it, you know, in funny ways? What if you want something that really, really is special to you? Something like a good luck charm, a good luck logo that you've got. Or maybe, you know, I don't know, you like horses or cats or flowers or something. That's why we're going to talk with Cabal Fouché, the owner and creator of something called Tin Cup, to personalize your golf ball. Welcome to the show, Cabal.
Aloha. Thank you for having me today.
Aloha. You're getting right into the spirit of things. Are they for sale in Hawaii?
We certainly do. We're at a number of golf courses in Hawaii. Actually, Hawaii, you guys, they've been outstanding customers for us. And our sales rep down there, Sally Choi, has done a tremendous job in getting it all over the island. So we do, and we really appreciate the business there.
Absolutely. Okay, now how did this idea come about, and what is the Tin Cup?
Sure, Tin Cup, it's actually it's 100% stainless steel, and it's a steel cup that you put over the golf ball, and the golfer gets a Sharpie, tells in, and makes a mark on the ball. So it's a neat, a unique way to mark a golf ball.
So it's like a stencil.
It's a stencil. It is a stencil, yes. It's a stencil. It was created by a good friend of mine, Jim Ballar. He's actually the inventor and creator, and I'm just lucky enough to be able to find it.
Okay.
And we've been doing this 4 years. We're about 1,500 golf shops across the country, and just continuing to expand and then having a great time.
All right. So from the pictures that I see, it's a tin cup, but it's in the shape of the ball, and you put your golf ball inside the cup so it's stabilized, and then you take whatever color Sharpie you want to use, and you then make you've got it right there, the stencil, so that you can color on your ball whatever it is that you want to have on your golf ball. Now, what if I want to do something? You have 140 different patterns that are already cut out in this. What if I want to do something that's really mine?
Well, you can do custom designs too. We have a custom design department, and basically just send us an email to info@tin-cup.com with your design request. We'll get back to you and let you know if we can do it or not. And, you know, we've done all sorts of custom designs. It's great for tournaments, a member guest. But it's neat. You can do your initials. You can give it as a gift or, you know, Christmas present, birthday gift, Father's Day. It's a really neat, unique way to mark and make the golf ball your own, in a sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Make it my own. Okay, my lucky own. Info@tin-cup.com?
Yeah, that's the email. Our website is simply www.tin-cup.com. That's our main website, tin-cup.com. And then they can just send us an email, and we're happy to respond.
I'm the only reason I'm repeating what you say is because the connection, sometimes we lose a couple of words, so I want to make sure everybody gets info@tin-cup.com.
Yeah.
So what is the most popular of your designs you sell?
I'd say some of the most popular have been the Luck of the Irish, Shamrock, the Martini glass, the dog.
5 o'clock time somewhere?
5 o'clock somewhere has been a top seller.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not, Aloha has done great. It's the hibiscus. Did it this past year, and it's been really doing well. It's a great, you know, it's to thank you all for that one.
Sure.
And the Jolly Roger, which is like the skull and crossbones.
That surprises me. Skull and crossbones on a golf course.
Skull and crossbones. Yeah, it does very well.
It does very well. Interesting. I understand luck of the Irish, yeah. 5 o'clock somewhere, yeah. But the skull and crossbones, that really surprised me. All right. It's 100% made in the USA.
Yes. We make in the USA. We're very proud of that. We're just looking forward to continuing to grow into more stores across the country.
Excellent. And it's a lifetime guarantee. So you made something really strong there.
Well, the best thing about Tin Cup is, you know, if you lose your golf ball, you can just mark another one. That's the difference between, you know, our product and already a logo golf ball. You can just lose those. But these, you know, you can keep buying balls and mark them yourself the rest of your life.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's the Tin Cup golf ball marking stencil. Okay, it's $19.95. That's the suggested retail price, and that's a really good deal. It's a great gift idea for somebody, and if you want to get a custom tin cup for somebody that you know would just love to have their team logo, you know, somebody who's got a team that they absolutely are passionate about, that would be fun for them to be able to mark their golf ball with their team logo. It's info@tin-cup.com.
That's the email. The website is www.tin-cup.com.
Yeah. Do you have team logos on your website too?
We do. We have about 130 designs. You just click on Tin Cup and you have 130 designs to choose from. We have some colleges. We're trying to get more.
Okay.
We have some military cups. We're partnered with the Birdies for the Brave Foundation. So we give all of our $5 per cup to the Birdies for the Brave Foundation for all of our military cups. This is U.S. Marine, USMC, and some of our other military cups.
That's Danielle applauding. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Kabul. We're going to wrap it up. I'm going to give you some tea times, okay? At Volcano, where it was 58 lovely degrees this morning, there's a 10:42 and an 11:18. Makalei has a 10:28 and an 11:32. Poipu, where the Southside Men's Club and the Waimea Class Reunion of 66 is going out to play. You could also at 11:20. And by the way, there's 25% off the sale rack. All right. Kapolei has the 11:19 and 11:40. Ko'olina has a 2:30. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 11:20 and 11:40. Olomana has a 10:42, 11:17, Makaha East a 9:30, a 10 o'clock, 11:15, and Wailea. The Gold Course has a 9:29 and a 10:23, the Emerald a 9:29 and a 10:05. So go out, play some golf, and have some fun. All right, that's your instruction today for the weekend. Do be prepared for Tropical Storm Flossie. Tropical Storm Flossie is coming from the Big Island side. Expect some pretty wet weather. That's what they're forecasting right now, that this is going to kind of go roll right across the Big Island and dump a lot of water on us. In the meantime, we're going to have a mostly sunny day for you to go out and get that shopping done. Make sure that your hurricane kit is all in order. This is not a hurricane, but you need to have the same things in case the power goes out. You know how that goes. We'll have a little bit of rain today as well. The winds are easterly, 15 to 20. And I want to thank the sponsors who make this show possible. Acura of Honolulu, brought to you by, now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. It's the Acura RLX, RLX Advance. Go test drive that car. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes to tee it forward on, okay? You don't have to play it from the championship tips. It is visually stunning. You will absolutely love this. It's a unique, unforgettable golf experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. And that's right. You have them come on your property. They assess the risks, okay? They determine the best way to protect you from those weaknesses. And so you'll put protection. protection for your home, for your business, on your property at Star Protection, whether you're putting on a concert or just a special event. Get the Star Team on your property, Star Protection. They're in Hawaii and in California. You can always catch us at RadioGolfClub.com. We're also at Stitcher, iTunes, and there's the RSS feed. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.